The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new. So step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app. What is going on? Chase McCabe live at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena as the Predators and the New York Islanders will do battle tonight. They return home after a long road trip, sitting at 500 on that road trip, but looking to get back to their winning ways tonight when Barry Trotz and the Islanders come to town. We'll have Predators General Manager David Poile join us coming up in a few minutes at 11:15, Darren McFarland will rejoin. Willie Donick will join the show for the first time today, so we'll see what happened at morning skate and also talk to David Poile. Again, look, tonight it's always special when Barry Trotz comes to town, because I think if you've been in this city long enough, if you've been a fan of the Predators, you're always going to remember the time when Barry Trotz was the head coach. It was 16 years. He was the only head coach for a long time, and then Peter Laviolette was here for 5.5, and now, of course, the John Hines era has begun very early on in the John Hines era. But Barry Trotz helped, alongside David Poile, build this thing from the very beginning, so it's always good to have him back. And, you know, we talked to him yesterday on the show, so it was good to catch up with him. So the Preds, Islanders, pregame at 6, puck drop at 7, as heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up this weekend, though, the Great American Race, the Daytona 500, NASCAR gets things started again as they will kick off their season. And they, you know, it's a weird tradition for them, but they have the biggest race of the year to start the season. And that is a tradition for NASCAR for sure. So let's talk to a driver. We're pleased to have one on the show.
And we say hello to the pole sitter of the Daytona 500, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He's the driver of the number 47 Kroger Chevy for JTG Dougherty Racing. That's going to take some getting used to. I'm used to saying Roush Fenway, but Ricky, how are you?
I'm doing great. I've luckily not messed that up yet, but I did look at the board the other day, and I was looking for the wrong number on the scoring pylon, but it's been a good week.
Are you one of those guys, when you sign your autograph, that you put your number? Have you had to adjust that?
I do put that. And, you know, mainly because a lot of the fans want you to put the number there. So, I've had to figure out how to do a 4 versus a 1.
I know it's a bit of an adjustment. Are you changing? Because I saw your team out at Nashville when the World of Outlaws were here. So the dirt car met your dad. He was out here. Are you changing to 47 on all those, or are you keeping the 17?
No, we're going to keep the dirt team the same. That was a cool race coming to Nashville, and I didn't make it there, but I definitely watched it. Hopefully, when we make it back there someday, we can get the track a little bit better.
Yeah, it'll be cool for you guys to come back. All right, so let's talk about this week, the Daytona 500. Obviously, it begins with you turning the hot lap. You put your new team on the pole. I know that had to be exciting. I know you want to go win the thing, but let's discuss that first, of what it's like to lead the field to the green flag of the Daytona 500.
Yeah, I mean, it is really neat and special for, you know, the whole team to be able to, you know, put put a car together that was that fast, and you know, to go out and lay a lap down that nobody could beat, that was definitely pretty special. So we've been enjoying that for the week, and you know, obviously getting ready for the duels that we got to get through first. But you know, to lead the field to the green come Sunday is something that not many people get to do, but we're excited for it.
Well, and you know, it's unique because you're with a new team, so you don't know these guys all that well after spending your entire career with Roush Fenway. So to go out there for the first race to put it on the pole, I know that's special. But what has the whole off-season program been like for you of getting acclimated with the new guys?
It's been good. You know, I've spent a lot of time, you know, this off-season was dirt racing and going to the shop and, you know, just trying to walk around and see everyone. And I still don't know half the names of everybody that's there in the shop. But, you know, just walking around, hanging out with them, you know, telling them I appreciate, you know, all the work that they've been doing is a lot of work. But it's been refreshing. And everybody in the shop is, you know, kind of pumped up and had a great great mood and you know, energy throughout the shop. And you know, now this week everybody's been really pumped up and ready to go because they see what their work, you know, this off season you know, did on the racetrack. You know, it was a direct correlation between the hard work that they put in and the speed that showed up on the racetrack. And you know, I think anytime you can do that, you know, it continues to push everybody in the shop to continue to work hard and, you know, do that for our Las Vegas cars and, you know, for the rest of the season. So definitely excited, you know, how we've started off so far.
What led you to JTG Dougherty after you found out that you were going to need to look for a ride? What ultimately was appealing to you to go to these guys?
Well, just the family atmosphere at JTG Dougherty Racing with Tad and Jody, Ernie, our competition director, just the way they run the whole company is really what, you know, I look for in a race team. And you know, looking at the cars, looking at the equipment, you know, they've got the resources, and you know, they spend money where you know, it directly affects you know, the speed of the race cars. You know, we're not wasting money on you know, things that don't matter. And, you know, I think that's important. And, you know, I think my crew chief Brian Patty kind of said it best. They hire families. They bring in the whole family, and that family atmosphere is second to none, I feel like, in the garage. So I'm looking forward to continuing to, you know, build those relationships throughout the shop and, you know, continue to run well on the racetrack as well.
Talking to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He is the pole sitter for the Daytona 500. Of course, it'll be on Fox this Sunday with pre-race starting at noon here in Nashville. So the Busch Clash was last week, and I sat there and watched it and was, you know, just in disbelief of there were five cars crossing the finish line at the end of it. I know no points were on the line. You were a spectator for that one, but what did you think of all the beating and banging for the Busch Clash?
It was crazy. Definitely you know, hoping that we don't have that few of cars finish the 500.
Yeah.
But I know that, you know, we sat and watched and just, you know, kind of paid attention to, you know, how the race played out, you know, what things are going on in the draft. And, you know, there's only 20 cars out there or 18 or whatever it was to begin with. So it's kind of hard to get a full, you know, kind of sense to how the races are going to play out, the 500. But, you know, we definitely want to, you know, get a win. You know, our partners, Kroger, have so many people that come to the 500. And so it's always cool to, you know, start on the front row for them and all the support that they give our race team, you know, way before I was ever a part of the team. They've been a huge supporter of Tad and Jody. So we want to go out there and make sure that we're around at the end of that race. So if there is five cars left like the Clash, hopefully we're one of them. and it'd be a huge victory lane celebration, that's for sure.
You brought up the duels earlier, and being the pole sitter for the 500, you'll obviously start on the pole for one of the duels as well coming up later on tonight. You're locked into your starting position, but you gotta stay out of trouble, and that's hard to do at Daytona. So what is the strategy in your mind as the pole sitter for the duels? Do you just try and go to the back and ride around and learn something about your car?
You definitely want to learn. I definitely want to, put my car in different positions to kind of learn and know what we need to work on for, Sunday. So, we'll put ourselves in different positions. If I feel like the race is playing out okay, then we'll, try and get up there and go for the win. I mean, you like to win anytime that you're on the racetrack. And so,
right.
And there's points available on the line. So you want to get some points. You want to at least finish inside the top 10. So that you're not starting the 500 off at a deficit to points to some of those other drivers. So, we'll learn, and then, because that's probably about the best draft session that we'll have before going into the 500. You'll have some, a few drafting sessions Friday and Saturday in practice, but nothing like the duels tonight.
We talked a lot about the rules package that you guys had last year, and I know it was reevaluated in the off season. You're going to have more horsepower going into Daytona than you did last year. So what do you think that's going to do for the racing?
I'm not real sure. The closing rate in the Clash was really fast. And, I don't know exactly why that is, whether it be the horsepower or whatever. But, I think it's always nice to be able to go back to the throttle and feel the power when you need it. And so we had a lot of power obviously on Sunday qualifying for the pole. So we're looking forward to it. Any race car driver will tell you that more horsepower is better.
Before I let you go, Ricky, obviously here in Nashville, a lot of NASCAR fans, and something we have been talking about on our airwaves and watching closely is everything going on at the fairgrounds. We started this off talking about the World of Outlaws being out there, but to get NASCAR Cup Series racing back in Nashville, to me, would be huge. You guys were here for the banquet. I don't know if you ever raced at the fairgrounds coming up through your career, but to get NASCAR back in Nashville, how big do you think that would be?
It was huge. I really feel like it would be big. I never raced there growing up, but I did go there for a race at the fairgrounds. My dad built some engines for some asphalt late models that ran there, so we went up and watched. But a really neat place, obviously the atmosphere and the culture of Nashville is perfect for our sport. So I definitely think we need to get back there, and I hope we do.
Ricky, best of luck this week in the Daytona 500. Give them hell, as they say, and we'll be cheering you on.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Appreciate Ricky Stenhouse Jr. for joining us here on Darren Donick and Chase. Should be a fun race this weekend. Again, you can catch it all on Fox. Coverage gets underway at noon Central Time on Sunday, so you can check that out. Look, it's one I circle on my calendar. As you guys know, I don't hide it. Big NASCAR fan here. So we'll see a little extra horsepower, what that's going to mean as they hit the high banks of Daytona on Sunday to kick off the NASCAR season. But the Predators, as I mentioned earlier, back in town tonight. They'll take on the New York Islanders and, of course, Barry Trotz, the longtime head coach of the Predators, now with the Islanders. He won a cup with the Washington Capitals. He'll be back in town. Always a good time when Trotz comes back, and it should be a good game. The Predators have 2 points on the line. We've seen signs that they're playing better now under John Hines. You can tell that he has changed the way of thinking. He's changed some of the systems, but there is still work to be done. There are still some players that I think have another level, and they have to try and get to that. David Poile, the general manager of the Nashville Predators, he will sit down with us when we come back. It is Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. As we will have Predators general manager David Poile here in just a few minutes. The president and CEO, Sean Henry, walking in as well, making sure that all is well. You're the security detail, we know.
Mr. Poyle looks set as the Preds take on the New York Islanders tonight. Barry Trotz, of course, in the building. Always fun to have him. David, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Looking forward to tonight and seeing Barry, our old coach, and see if we can have a good game against them.
We had him on yesterday, and, you know, obviously fun to go down memory lane, and I asked him the question of, you've done this a lot now. It's been several years since he last coached here. Is it still weird? Is it still special? And he basically said, yeah, it is. I mean, you're always going to remember the good times. But how is it for you? You know, you're obviously still here whenever he comes back.
Always good, really good memories. I mean, as a manager, you make a lot of decisions, player moves, staff moves, or what have you. And one of the best things that ever happened to me was Barry Trotz joining our organization in Washington when I was a general manager there, and how he worked his way up and through the organization as a scout, as an assistant coach in the minors, head coach in the minors, and then, you know, hiring him in Nashville. And I've told the story many times. When I got the job in Nashville, I called a lot of my peers as to, you know, what you should do, and specifically what you should do is hiring a coach. And every one of them said the same thing: is your team is going to be so bad, you need to hire the most experienced coach that you can have, because he'll cover up for a lot of the mistakes that you have on the ice. And of course, I did just the opposite. I hired a coach in Barry Trotz that had never coached in the National Hockey League, but you know, I felt at that time somebody had given me a chance along the way, and it was my time to do the same thing. And like I said, it was one of the best decisions I ever made.
I think it worked out for everybody.
Absolutely. So.
David, I was just looking at some of the numbers, and I knew that the team had played a lot of road games, but I guess I didn't realize until I looked at sort of the big picture. I know 8 of the next 10 games that the team plays are here. 17 of the previous 24 had been on the road, and the team went 12-10-2 in those 24, and most of those games are without Ryan Ellis. So I know things have not clicked the way everybody hopes that they will at some point, but you know, that looking back on it, that could have been a really tough period to go through, and the team at least kind of hung in there, and there's still a lot of hockey to be played here.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's something really good to point out. And under normal circumstances, meaning how we usually have played at home, I would tell you that we're in great position to make a charge and a run to make the playoffs. But the big question mark right now is, how are we going to play at home? I think I'm not sure exactly where our road record is in the National Hockey League, but I think it's one of the better ones, or certainly the top half of the league. And for a team like the Predators, who've always had a terrific home record, you know, close to dominating in some years, this has been, you know, if you're picking out one aspect of our overall game, that would be our record at home. So here we are. We sort of control our own fate. Most of the games that we have coming up, we have 27 games remaining. 17 are either in our division or in our conference, which means they're all four-point games, because virtually these are the teams that are ahead of us. So we have every chance in the world to make the playoffs, and we can do it by having a good home record. So it's all put on a tee for us to do, but we've got to overcome whatever ails us at home, because we just have not been good.
The results ultimately have to be there, but I know the word that we've used all year long is consistency in what you're looking for. The last game at Vancouver was a bad start to the game, of course, and that was I would say frustrating, I'm sure, for you. The other three games on the road trip, it looked like you're starting to see some of the structure, some of the game plan that you're looking for from start to finish as a team. Are you starting to see what you're hoping to see there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we're playing better, but you know, the competition has been the same all year long, and the other teams, as I was kid, that they're trying to win too. All the games are close. I mean, you know, we saw on our road trip we had lost here against Vegas, which was a very poor game on our part, and you know, we were getting criticized, which was fair. We get to Winnipeg, we beat Winnipeg, and basically they're being criticized that's it for them, and they're not going to make the playoffs. And after that, they win three games, one in St. Louis, who's a top team, and then the last game at home, they lose against the Rangers, which is a game I'm sure they expected to win, because Rangers look like they may not be in the playoffs. The same thing when we went to Calgary, biggest game of the season, when we won the game 3-2. I thought it was a pretty even even game, but we won. Their coach went totally off on their players, and it was like their season is over. Then they go to their next two games. They go to Vancouver, San Jose. They win, and then last night in a game that they feel they should win against a non-playoff team, LA, they lose. Yeah. And then it's the beat goes on, and so that just shows you how evenly balanced the teams are, and how hard it is going to be just to get in the playoffs, because the teams are good and the teams are pretty equal.
Yeah, and there's a lot of games, it seems like, every night between two of those teams, as you're talking about. And we were sort of laying it out yesterday. That race in the Pacific in particular is very interesting, and it's going to have a lot of bearing on who ends up in the wild card, because the five teams are so balanced. And so you wonder what that's going to mean in terms of how many points your team needs to get. Do you look that far ahead, or is it more of just trying to get your team right?
Well, I think the right answer is you just stay focused. And you can only control what you can do today. However, I think that it's going to take less points to make the playoffs this year than it has in the last few years in our conference. If you look at the other side, it's kind of vice versa. They have some really, teams that haven't done very well at all, and they got some teams that have got better records than us that aren't going to make the playoffs. But it's an unbalanced schedule, so you can't compare. It's not apples to apples, so to speak. But I think we got to get to about 10 games above 500 to put ourselves into the playoff race. That's 92 points. We're 4 games over 500 right now, so we got to play at a pretty good pace to get into the playoffs.
I know it's a very delicate situation, and every day there's the protocol, but could you maybe take us through the process of where Ryan Ellis is now? He's been with the team. We've seen him out there practicing with the guys, and you got to be patient, I guess, if you're a fan, right?
Right. Well, again, he looks really good. He's participating in everything now. He's even having a little bit of contact and pushback, so I think the conditioning part is there. So I think when he gets cleared, that it would be virtually any day, and I believe he's close. But as I say, that's not like a broken arm. You got a broken arm, the doctor sees it. Okay, that's 90% good. Right. You can play. Well, in a situation where Ryan is with a concussion, you can't be 98% in play. You have to be 100%, and it's something that that Ryan is dealing with. I want to knock on wood and say that I hope he gets better quickly, and we need him, and I think it's really close. That's all I can say. Just got to feel a little bit better, basically.
David Jarrett Tenorti has been playing a lot of late and getting some valuable minutes. He's taking time up from guys that you've had in the lineup and have been around for years with this organization and in that room. What have you seen out of him that has earned him his playing time to this point?
Very steady, very very consistent, bigger than the other guys that he's playing ahead of right now, more physical than the other guys that he's playing ahead of, and just doing a real, real good job. Not doing, too much, kind of playing within his limits. I mean, Jared is a real good skater in Milwaukee. He does a lot more, meaning he's rushing the puck and a little bit more offensive. And we sort of got him in a little bit of a box of what we need him to do. And he's been very coachable in doing that. And he's been very good for us. A nice surprise, if you will. I mean, when we signed him for depth. We signed him for leadership down in Milwaukee. He's the captain there. He's a really good pro. And I think we got a little bit lucky here that, he's been a little bit of a late bloomer. And based on how he's playing now, I'm wondering why we didn't try him a little bit earlier. So very happy with Jarrett right now.
We had Barry Trotz on the show yesterday, and you remember the 2005-06 season against the Red Wings, the unfortunate incident with Yuri Fisher, and Jay Bouwmeester had the same thing happen in Anaheim the other night where they had to bring him back, and so they had a press conference to kind of update everybody. Scary moment. They canceled the game. They canceled that game against Detroit. I'll say this before I get you to comment on it, because you remember that so well. The league really should get a lot of credit, and all the teams and the setup in the arenas, because how quickly they're responding to a crazy incident like this and saving lives. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're saving lives, jumping on that scene as quick as they do. What do you remember about 05-06 in that game? And you know, now we've had Rich Peverly, I think, went through this in Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah, the Uri Fisher thing in Detroit, I mean, it was just, you know, we all saw it, and then you wondered what happened. Like, were we up in the press box? And, I mean, you just see a lot of almost confusion and, you know, players yelling and all this stuff, and a player basically being who collapsed on the bench, go right into their dressing room, be carried into their dressing room or what have you. So a little bit of confusion at the time, and I know I went down to the dressing room area, and I went into the Detroit room there, and you know what's happening, updated, and we're on the phone with the league, and all of Detroit's players, especially Detroit's players, I should say, were totally, you know, panicked, and I mean, it was clearly the right thing to do, and you know, to cancel or postpone the game to another time, and I think in watching the thing with Anaheim and St. Louis is the exact same thing, I hope this comes across the right way. If I'm so, you know, proud of how we do stuff with our trainers, our medical stuff, all the policies that the NHL has. If there's any place that you'd want to have a cardiac arrest, it might be right here because of all the facilities and all of the people and manpower to take care of it right away. I mean, you know, you just think of an ordinary person. If it happened at home, I mean, you got to have
somebody
else
around
to call 911. You got to call an ambulance and what have you. You could be half hour or an hour from anybody doing anything. Where in this case, it was just immediate. You know what they can do and did do, and you see that Bomeister, from what I read, it looks like everything is going to be okay. So, you know, that's a scary situation. You don't ever expect it to happen, and then you talk about people like Jay Bomeister. I mean, he's known for his conditioning, his fitness. He's, you know, in his age and
his durability.
It is how he takes care of himself. I mean, it's crazy. So it could happen to anybody, as we know. But the good news is, I'm really proud of the league and how we're set up and, you know, taking care of things.
Why do you think Granlund has responded so well in this new system? He looks like a different player. It looks like he's the most comfortable he's been since he's been here. He looks like the guy you originally traded for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, more responsibility. I mean, he's playing both power play, penalty killing. I'm sure I'm right. I'm probably the most increase in ice time. Maybe he and Kyle Turris. You know, it's just how life is. You know, it's might be good for somebody. Maybe it might be good for somebody else. And for Granlund, I mean, he looks terrific. He looks clearly like the player that we traded for. I wish we would have seen this last year in the playoffs. I mean, it might have been a different fate for all of us. But better late than never. So he's playing really well.
Last thing, Monday is going to be a week out. How big is – I feel like we've asked this question every week.
You have.
I have. Maybe that's why it feels that way. How big is tonight in the home and home with St. Louis for how you're going to be sitting in the office on Monday?
Well, it's hard to put numbers to it, but it's huge. I mean, I can't imagine that we would be losing all three of our games this week, and I'd be talking to you next week and saying everything is okay. But you know, I'd have to think we got to win two out of the three for me to be having the confidence going forward. We're at a game at a time. I mean, as Willie asked me earlier in the interview, I'm buoyed by a lot of things of how we're playing in different areas. But you know, I wished and we needed to win one more game. I wish we were 3-1 on that road trip. I thought maybe we deserved that, and you know, in Edmonton a little bit, but we didn't get it. So we got to make up for it this week.
I have the last one. when you introduced John Hines, one thing that really stood out that he said was there's no gray area. It's very black and white of what he expects out of his players. Mm-hmm. And you also said that there were some guys that you wanted to see more out of. Mm-hmm. You look at the last game against Vancouver and some of the minutes. I mean, you got some big names that you could tell that their minutes were reduced.
Mm-hmm.
How do you look at that when you see the Ryan Johansons and Philip Forsbergs not playing as much because John Hines is trying to get the most out of them?
Well, I can't sit here and say that I like it, but I don't like the fact that that they're not playing as well as they need to play, as well as they have played. I don't think we're asking anything from any player, and especially, our top forwards, I think is who you're talking about, that they haven't done before in their career. I mean, if you look at stuff just from a statistical standpoint, none of our top guys are having their best year, not even close to it. So when you start looking for reasons like why are we where we are, well, you know, I can point at other areas, but since you brought up this question, that's one of the areas. These our top guys have got to be our top guys, and right now they're not.
David, thank you for coming up. Appreciate it as always.
Okay, guys.
And enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you tonight. Thank you.
Predators General Manager David Poile, brought to you every week by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. We will come back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. On the other side, ESPN 102.5, the game. Appreciate David Poile for stopping by Pete and Terry's Tavern every week, brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, a place we did a show from right before the AFC Championship game. Yes, I was trying to remember which playoff game it was. Chase, you were in Kansas City. Willie and I.
No, I wasn't, actually. I was in the
Atlanta
airport.
That's right. You were. You were doing – that's right. We had fun at your expense, planes, trains, and automobiles.
I was in the lovely Atlanta airport wandering around and listening to Jared do his show, and Floyd was laughing, so it was a good time.
Off the air.
Off the air, yeah.
Yeah.
This was the pre-show.
Yeah, the pre-show to the show.
It was about the airport.
So he literally does 8 hours a day.
He does. He does. He's good at
pre-show
it.
Pre-show to the real show. So, yeah, we enjoyed our time. By the way, there was a lot of foot traffic that day. People, you could tell, they were gearing up for some parties that weekend for sure, especially on Sunday. So what stood out to you guys with what came of David Poile? What stood out to me that I won't even probably get into was what he said off the air. That's really where my intrigue is. I got to be honest, that's where my head is.
Yeah, yeah, we're like, going to have to investigate
it's amazing that that didn't – it didn't get brought up yesterday. Yeah. That was kind of quiet, what David brought up to us. But anyway.
Now
what,
it comes up, and you know we've already seen to do with, Hal Gill and Chris Mason, and we can't ask them about it.
So. Right, right.
Well, the calendar turned to February 9th, you know, as Saturday turned to Sunday as we arrived in Vancouver. And if you just put that together.
Yeah. Willie, happy birthday.
That's very, very vague.
It was very convenient.
Very vague.
A very good time to have your birthday start.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
That, you know. And a very good city to have that happen in.
There you go. Okay.
That was and he basically said that the next day, nobody saw me for a while.
No, but you were underground, like you were still in Edmonton.
What stood out to me is you can definitely tell that he is he's frustrated like everyone else about the inconsistency.
Chase, I would agree with you 100%. I think David – That's the body language that I read him sitting here at the table. He is really frustrated.
And I want to say this because you guys know this. You've dealt with David Poile for a long time. But, you know, the question I asked is it's a tough question, but it has to be asked because those are guys you're paying a lot of money to and they're not playing a ton of minutes. David Poile has always been very honest about that stuff. And he knows that it's a part of the gig and that it's stuff he's going to have to face. And I always appreciate his honesty with us. You know, when we have to ask those tough questions. But, look, I get it, why he's frustrated, because it's really tough to have to deal with this right now that that he, you know, he's paid these guys a lot of money, they're under contract, and for whatever reason, they're just having a down year. And so it's just trying to figure that out. And I think the most frustrating part for him is – he can't figure it out. Like, he doesn't know what the answer is. And John Hines is trying to figure out what the answer is. And if they knew, then it would be fixed. But for whatever reason, it's just been an inconsistent year, yet they're knocking on the door. They're right there. So that the story goes on.
You know, in trying to go back through it, you hope that this isn't the kind of thing that comes up every other game. If it does, then I can't see the team getting where they want to go. But there are times during the course of a schedule where you need to set a standard and say, if you're not up to the standard, I'm playing the other guys.
Right.
And as I said yesterday, I think it's important to note, it's not like he had no other players to go to. The guys he put out there almost got them back in the game. I mean, Jacob Markstrom made four spectacular saves with the score 4-2. Any one of them goes in, it's 4-3. And it's a very different feel in that building. As it was, you still felt like, hey, they could get back in this thing. Yeah. The way they're doing it. This is with those guys on the bench. All right, so it's not like he benched those guys and they lost 7-0. You could make the argument that if he kept playing the same flow, maybe they would have lost 6-0. I don't know, because the way they were going wasn't working.
Right?
They immediately get down 4-0 on miraculous bounce, and yet they come back, roaring back, going with these guys. And like I said, one less big save by Markstrom, and that could have been a different game. And then the fifth goal at the end also was a very lucky goal that goes off of a guy who's not even going towards the net. He's fading away from the net. It hits his leg and bounces in. So there was a little bit of bad luck mixed in there. But all that to say, tonight I think will be different. Tonight you start over. Those guys are back on the top six. They've shuffled the deck a little bit in the top six. They're going to put Kyle Turris back on the wing. And if those guys play well, I guarantee you they will get good minutes. They'll get a lot of minutes. And if they earn it, they'll play. If the other, if Nick Menino's line goes out and scores a couple goals, why wouldn't you play those guys?
I get that. I totally get that. But you need everybody to play well. You just do. You're at this time of year, and I don't know why they're – and I'm not saying anybody's making excuses, but I don't know why we're having this conversation. I can't figure it out of why Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, why they are not playing well. And it's mind-boggling. That's the problem. It's just – and I know it is for David Poile. It is for John Hines. It is for all of us. It is for
But the
fans.
In the meantime, what do? Do you just sit around and do nothing? I mean, that's the thing. Ray Ferraro had a good tweet during
the
game.
That's been the conversation. He's like, you don't know what to do.
He was like, how long are you supposed to wait before you try something different? So what they've done is, if you notice, they've created basically a third power play unit. And it's like, hey, the best ones are going to play.
Yeah.
Right? So let's have some competition.
They call that the power play all-star unit? Is that what that is?
Well, there's some guys that are on more than one unit, but like Romagnosi is going to play on the power play.
Right.
Right? He's going to be in there. But I think it's a process. John Hines wants the same thing as David Poile that everybody that wants the Predators to do well wants. Get the best out of the guys they've got. If you got to take a step back, be willing to pay a price one game to take the next step forward and win in the future.
Who said they were taking a step back?
I don't think they were, because I think they were playing the best way they knew to win that game on Monday. It almost got them back in the game.
I understand the mentality of all the people that are on the side of how can you take your best players out.
The best players that night, he was playing.
Exactly. That's my point. It's not a step back. If those are not your best players, they're only your best. If you are deeming them your best players by their contracts, okay, fine.
And that's what most people do.
Okay.
They look at the number. And
Philip Forsberg, look, he's got 18 goals. He leads the team in goals. Right. But he has 2 goals in the last 10 games. And I think what's frustrating with Philip now is we've seen his body of work for so long, and everybody knows how much of a special talent he is. And a prime example is that New Jersey game. Philip Forsberg, and we've seen others, he dominated that game, right? Philip Forsberg dominated that game against the Devils. Dare I say he won them the game? But I'm pretty close to saying he won them the game.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Phil Forsberg,
made big plays
they don't win the game in New Jersey. And so I guess where I'm going with this is a lot of people are saying, and rightfully so, why isn't there more of that? We understand you're not going to get that every night. That is impossible. Night in and night out for 82 games. It's ridiculous. We've tried to tell you over and over again that these are not robots. They are human beings, and they're professional athletes, and they're well paid, but they're human beings too. And so you're not going to get that for 82 games. You don't get that from anybody for 82 games. But there is another level, right? And it's like that New Jersey game, and then, okay, what's the follow-up to that? The follow-up is not good enough. It's got to be better. He's too important. Matt Duchene has a goal in 12 games. Ryan Johansson has 2 goals and 5 points in the last 15 games. I mean, that's just simply not good enough. So when people say, how could you take those guys out and expect to try to have a chance to win? Well, at that point, it was 4-0. And I would say the way that game was going, I don't know why people would think that's a step back. their best period, I think we all can agree, if you're watching the game, was the second period. You just talked about Mark. If it's not from Markstrom, who knows? We may have been talking about one of the biggest comebacks they've ever had when it was really bleak at 4-0 at the start of the period when they scored less than a minute in and they pulled Pekka. I mean, they had opportunities to get that thing down to a goal or who knows, even tie it up the way they were going in the second period. John Hines, to me, did exactly what you're supposed to do. You have to spark it. It's got to be more than just pulling the goalie, right? That cannot be the only time you try to spark your team is pulling the goalie. There's got to be other methods.
I think this is where it's very, very tough to be the coach because it's easy to coach when everybody's playing well. You just roll your four lines. Everybody plays their role. Your goalie makes big saves, and you're sailing along. Hey, what a great coach. Coach so-and-so is. This is where it's really tough.
Like right now in Tampa, everything's great. Everything is great
and
in
they
Tampa.
They were calling for his head
in November.
They were like, what's wrong with the Lightning?
And now the Lightning looked like the team we saw the entire time last year.
They made it
until
through the
playoffs.
Storm. And I still say that this team, this Predator team, can make it through the storm if they can find it here. It's not not inconceivable.
They have
now,
to find
maybe,
it, though.
Maybe they'll keep playing along, win one, lose one. Maybe they'll do that the rest of the year. But it's in them to play way better. They have a higher ceiling than they've shown. They've got to keep fighting to get to that level. Now, here's an interesting thing that I looked at. Well, let's talk about this on the other side if we have time. Because these next 10 games are going to be pretty interesting.
Have you talked about the good folks at Lee Company?
I would love to talk
well,
about
let's do that.
The good folks at Lee Company right now. So, with 8 of the next 10 games here at Bridgestone Arena, Lee Company is a display, if you're coming to any of those games, that you will see. They are a big sponsor of the Nashville Predators operation, including our radio coverage right here on 102.5 The Game. They also do all kinds of great services for you, so you always want to keep their website and phone number top of mind. LeeCompany.com, easy to remember. 615-567-1000 is the phone number, also easy to remember. You got a maintenance problem at home or on your business time that you need to take care of, you can talk to the folks at Lee Company. They'd be glad to help you. You make an online appointment, you don't even have to pick up the phone, and the job is in the process of getting done. That's a good feeling for you because then you can concentrate on the rest of your workday and then go on and have your fun later watching the Predators, watching all your favorite teams, watching your kids' games. It's such a great relief. So make that online appointment for that nagging maintenance problem that you've been having at home or work by going to LeeCompany.com. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators.
Back around Darren Donick and Chase on this Thursday. Tonight's Predators and Islanders, 7 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 6. Everything right here on 102.5 The Game. Elliot Freeman joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock, and something has just come up. I don't know what that means. He is always involved right in the middle of the inner workings of something big. So I don't know if we're about to find out something big, like a trade or what, but to my knowledge, he is not canceled this entire season.
No.
He's been on with us the whole year, and so it does make me wonder if something big is about to happen. He's going to get pushed to tomorrow, by the way. He's not canceling for the week. He will be on the program. He will be on the program tomorrow, but he said something big has come up, so what could that be? Elijah told us during the break he hopes Sidney Crosby gets shipped to the KHL. So I don't know. maybe that's what it is. He gets traded to the KHL.
To Helsinki.
Or Helsinki. Yeah, that would be the first time that two leagues have traded between one another. Those two leagues. So that'd be big. That's worth missing the interview if that's the case. So 12:30 tomorrow.
That would certainly get everybody's attention.
Yeah. So Commissioner Greg Sankey of the SEC will join us tomorrow at 10:15 as well.
So where were you going? You wanted to save something for on the other side.
This is me probably being glass half full, but as I look at that, think about how everybody felt about the team in that mid-December game against Dallas, right? They They lost 4-1. Everybody felt awful. The team was going on that the New York-Boston road trip. It also started a stretch of 24 games in which 17 were on the road. 17 out of 24. And they've played, as it turns out, 16 games without Ryan Ellis. They changed coaches in the middle of it. Their record during that span is 12-10-2. They're actually 8-7-1 without Ellis. To me, when you think of the travel involved, two trips to Western Canada, one trip out to California, a trip to the East Coast in there as well, or actually two of them. Looking back on it, that's the kind of part of a schedule that could have sunk them a lot further down than they are. They've, to me, I think the way you would say it would be they've treaded water.
Right.
So that's not the worst-case scenario. The thing that really, I think, gives you some of the feeling you have is in that time, the games they have played at home in particular have been the games that give you a bad feeling, right? It only counts as one loss, so their record is 12-10-2, but it seems like the record is worse because when you go back through the games, the first game that John Hines was the coach against Boston got beat bad. The game against Pittsburgh coming out of the Christmas break when they had all the momentum, they had a bad patch in there. The game against Vegas where they get shut out. The game against Anaheim where nobody could figure out what was going on. You see what I'm saying? They had a lot right. of duds in that 24-game stretch, but their record isn't as bad as it might seem. But now you look at this stretch of 10 games. The law of averages would say, if they're a good team, now you're going to get in the routine of playing home games. Here, you got 8 out of 10. This is the chance. I would really like to see how they do in these 10 games. To me, the stage is set. If you can get Ryan Ellis back, you can start playing better as a team. Maybe this is your best chance at any point in time in the remaining part of the schedule to start getting on some sort of a roll here. But we'll test my theory because, you know, they haven't played at that level in a long time. But I look back a little bit more optimistically when I look at the last 24 games because we all have the same feeling after a game like Monday, like, what the heck happened? Where did the guys go that looked so good in Calgary? But over the last 24 games, they've treaded water. They haven't lost too much ground. They've got to go get this thing. They've also gotten some help in the standings the last couple of nights. Calgary loses at Los Angeles last night. You think they're happy about that? You know, Chicago has now lost 5 games in a row. Arizona has 2 wins in their last 10 games. So it's these other teams that are trying to separate and probably have had a pretty good chance to separate from Nashville haven't really done it. So it's still there for the taking if the team can play well, play up to their capability.
Why are you looking at me?
What? I thought that was your cue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So obviously you weren't listening. Not
no, I was absolutely listening. I'm just not willing to go there. I would also contend that when I look around the league and I see the injuries that have plagued a lot of teams, Colorado was out without 2 of their big 3 for a good while. Pittsburgh has had all their beef out for a good while. Crosby missed 28 games. He's the lifeblood of that team. You look around right now. By the way, Alexander Radulov just put on IR. Columbus is losing Seth Jones and Atkinson, which are 2 of their best players. You know, injuries happen all over the place.
And you don't think it affects any teams?
I think it does, and then some teams have done a good job of getting through that, getting through those patches.
Well, is 8-7-1 without Ellis getting through it? They haven't flourished, but that's not that bad.
Well, 8-7-1 is just basically that's just what they've been all year. That's just a notch above 500. I mean, that's all that is. It's just a microcosm of 55 games we've seen to this point. I would contend that their schedule has been extremely conducive to this point. I don't think it's been murderer's row at all. It's going to be this month and next month. It's going to be these 2 months. Well, there's going to be a lot of back-to-backs. It's going to be very compact
I think that's
and
a good
heavy
thing.
Loaded. And maybe it is. Maybe it is. But I would say that the schedule has been pretty conducive to this point. And
conducive to what?
It hasn't been murderer's row, like I said. It's been very laid out, really nice.
17
a lot of breaks.
Out of 24 on the road. I'm talking about that section of the schedule. That was a pretty tough part of the schedule. To me, where they left the points on the table was in November and early December when they had a lot more home games. They didn't have many back-to-backs at all. And they had Ryan Ellis. To me, that's where they lost the ground when they lost what? I think they lost 8 out of 9 mm-hmm. at one point. They went 1-6-2 over a stretch. That, to me, is where the schedule was more doable. But I do think that that was a pretty tough stretch that they have just gone through. Now, to me, you tell me you got 8 out of 10 at home, I'm telling you this is the time. I'm saying you got this is where you got to get it done.
There's no.
And hopefully during that time they will get Ellis back. And as you pointed out yesterday, it's probably going to be a process before he is back to himself playing. You hope he can hit the ground running, but that's a tough thing. But just having – the quicker you have him back, the quicker he's going to get back to himself.
Yeah. I just – has Ellis been a huge loss? Of course. I mean, who in the world would argue against that? I just, if that's really, and Victor missed 12 games, he hasn't been really the same since then. And I'm saying we're not sitting here talking about a team that has just been absolutely ravished with just injuries galore and all these bodies. You know, this guy's missed 9 games. This guy missed 14 games.
You use Pittsburgh as an example. Pittsburgh has done the best job of anybody of dealing with the injuries.
Yeah.
They are to be commended. They've done a fantastic job.
Right, and it was not third and fourth line guys. These are guys that they count on night in and night out. Not everybody has done like that. Others have not done well with injuries. So it doesn't work for everybody like that, but some have done a better job than others of getting through. And so what I'm getting at is they don't have like all this stuff we could talk about really where it's like, yeah, but that, you know, all these injuries, and that's been brutal.
It has not been brutal.
I'm just at the point now where it's like what you said is absolutely the truth. These 10 games, 8 of them at home, and a lot of Central Division games, is it important? Abso-freaking-lutely. I want to see it now. I want to see what they can do.
You know what we haven't discussed today, which is an obvious? It's got to start with the goalies. We said, you know, we talk a lot about the forwards and top players. Some of the top players are the goalies. This is another thing. It's almost, to me, they're fortunate to be where they are with the goalies having the years that they've had as a whole, right? It's been a little bit better lately. Pekka had some bad luck the other night. UC Saros has started to play pretty well. He'll be in there tonight. We'll see how he does.
We'll talk to Adam Kaplan to kick off the third hour. That's next.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
When you choose LG, you're not just getting a TV. You're getting more of everything you love. More entertainment, more innovation, more control. LG TVs are built to do more. With OLED and QNED displays that deliver breathtaking color and contrast. Smart AI-powered features that make streaming, gaming, and searching effortless. And ultra-slim designs that turn your screen into a statement piece. It's performance you can see, technology you can feel, and reliability you can trust. Get more out of every moment at home with LG.